Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kington here with Jim Cramer and David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. We're hanging on to some gains amid some broad-based selling in Europe following yesterday's 1,000-point swing in the Dow. A market hungry for more Omicron data. Meanwhile, jobless claims better than expected. Oil still near 65. Our roadmap begins with continued Omicron volatility. Stocks on track for that mixed open. The Dow's trying to claw back some of the losses after the biggest session reversal in more than a year.
Plus, back to the skies after more than 2 years, China is clearing the path for Boeing 737 MAX to fly again. Shares are up on the news.
And Apple's moving lower ahead of the open. The company reportedly telling suppliers that iPhone demand has slowed, but Jim never likes Apple supply chain rumors.
I once dealt with a company that was a supplier. And I found out that there seemed to be some weakness, and I tried to get it confirmed. Any supplier who confirms that is immediately fired by Apple. So the idea that any supplier would say to a press, anyone in the press, that things are weakened means that that supplier would no longer be a supplier. So that's a pretty big contract to lose. On the other hand, we have Goldman saying supply and demand have met each other, and we have Wedbush saying that supply cannot keep up with demand. So now you've got three organizations. One of them is reporting something that has made it so whoever supplies, there will be now a witch hunt against. So I think that I'm going with the Wedbush and the Goldman views. Remember, the largest buyers are the telcos. So if you know Vestberg and Sievert, Verizon and T-Mobile, they know far more about demand than any supplier. And so far, I understand that they're still trying to meet demand.
And don't forget Stanky. You left him out.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because I'm arbitrary and capricious.
Okay. AT&T is a pretty big buyer, too. But you're right. Right. And we do know all those guys.
Right. And those are the guys who are buying. Look, if I heard from Hans Vestberg, listen, we are so full up with phones that we're not going to. I'm not hearing that call. I'm not getting that call. Maybe you're getting that call when you were down at Exxon getting many calls.
No, I'm not getting that call.
Well, okay. So let's just put it out there. Again, my experience as a reporter and as an anchor was, if a supplier actually confirms to the media that there's some weakness, that supplier is canceled. So I think that there will be someone canceled if that story's true. And I doubt that will happen. Okay? This is real life that I had it happen.
Okay.
I mean, okay. I'm saying that I'm not buying the Bloomberg.
I understand what you're saying. And
I'm saying that I'm buying Wedbush. I'm buying Goldman. I think supply and demand could be, well, for all I know, that Apple double ordered so that they wouldn't have missed. But I was recently
with. That's an interesting point. You should actually spend a moment on that.
Well, when you want chips, no matter who you are, there's a propensity to want to double order.
In this environment, so you make sure you're getting something.
So you get your chips. And then once your supply meets demand, you just say, listen, I've got all the chips I need. It does not necessarily mean weakness. Maybe you want to tell a reporter that it means weakness. That is that means that maybe Apple switched to another supplier.
Right.
So I'm just saying that while I don't think that Apple should have been up at 167, I would not sell it on this news.
So you're saying it's like Rashomon, sort of everybody has their own truth.
It is like Rashomon. Yep. It is like Rashomon.
It's hard to know exactly what the overall truth is.
Absolutely.
It does sort of remind us, speaking of all the supply chains today, I know you noticed Morgan Stanley cuts freight transportation because they see inventories building and prices coming down next year as a result.
We had Lance Fritz on yesterday. He said the opposite. He happens to be the CEO of Union Pacific. I'm trying to get to James Squires because I don't like the fact that he retired. He's younger than I am from Norfolk Southern. But Apple warned suppliers, iPhone. No, Apple. Okay, Apple's calling Skyworks and saying, hey, listen, man, we're weak. We're in trouble. Is Tim Cook making that call right now? Make that call?
I don't think he's making that call.
He's calling Liam Griffin and saying, Liam, our sales are really weak. That's what happened. Liam's biggest supplier. Liam, we're in a jam here at Apple. Do you think that's happening? Is that what's happening?
You clearly do not believe it is happening.
Hock-tan, listen, man, we don't need any more because things are bad. I'm just not buying. Who else do we have to call? Right?
Yeah.
How about Corvo? Hey, Corvo, you might as well be Tequila. We're in such trouble here.
Cristiano, do we call him a Qualcomm too? Get on the phone.
Oh my God, no, upside down. Qualcomm, listen to me. We're in such trouble here. Let's even go. How far down the chain should we go with Qualcomm?
Oh, no.
Speak a little Portuguese.
Excuse me?
What's Portuguese for slowdown?
So overall, then, what did you make of yesterday's reversal?
Oh, it's horrible.
Now we got, 20 Dow names in so-called oversold territory.
It is just unbelievable that anyone, it started filtering out when we heard about San Francisco. We heard about someone, and then we heard that the person was double vaccinated. So then we realized, well, wait a second, let's do some more work on this. And it turns out that there are 47 million people who have gotten COVID who are apparently not immunized. It doesn't count. It's not immune. You want to say that the Glaxo has a product? Well, Glaxo is very, very in infancy.
I'm sorry, you got it again. For your 47 million people who've gotten the vaccine, but the vaccine is not Moderna Pfizer.
No vaccine. If you just got immunized by having COVID, the authorities told me last night that immunization may not work against Omicron. Okay. But no one's telling me that the vaccines don't have a good level. Hey, by the way, John, I was with someone who's a very high level doctor, Johns Hopkins. How many people vaccinated have died at Hopkins, David?
How many? None.
Thank you.
None.
But there are many people who refuse to get vaccinated. I don't know, Carl. I just can tell you that if you think that we're not by the end of the day having more Omicron victims in this country, then I think you're dreaming.
Sure. 21% of adults have had a booster, which essentially means you got 100 million people who are fully vaxxed but not boosted. And Merkel today with some comments saying that essentially she believes that vaccination, as we've known it so far, is good for about 9 months. So this is, they're trying to push boosters all around the world.
Well, I think that when Dr. Topol, who I regard as being as good as Dr. Gottlieb on these things, from Scripps Institute, when he came on Mad Money earlier this week, he said we shouldn't call it a booster. The fact is that the two-shot regimen was not good enough.
So it's always been three.
It's always been three. But our fabulous NIH, yes, again, facetious, the NIH-CDC combination of people who, to me, they get the clown cars out at this point. They did not tell us. Pfizer told me early on that you need three. But Pfizer was worried about people talking about price gouging. And that Pfizer was trying to make extra. Even Pfizer was sensitive, but they said to me over and over again, you're going to need the third. Well, I mean, now the medical establishment is saying, listen, basically, they're worth three, but we only gave you two. That's now being used by the anti-vaxxers saying, hey, listen, they told us to get two. Now it's three. Is it going to be four? So there's just increasing evidence that the people who are anti-vax just keep getting ammo from the NIH. And I include Dr. Fauci.
You and I did talk yesterday about some bullish scenarios that are floating around.
JP Morgan went with
my
scenario.
Now, JP Morgan, Kalanovic jumps in and says, wouldn't it be weird if this new variant actually accelerated us to the end of the pandemic with a mild severity and would get you closer to seasonal flu, which would be positive for risk,
which
would steepen the curve, which would put value above growth.
I know Omicron is apparently, David, from here to here.
Okay.
And Delta is from here to here.
Right. People didn't see that because they were looking
at it. Well, it's a podcast anyway.
You're just talking about your head. It's a head cold.
It's a head cold.
Yeah.
And the rest you should just consider to be pneumonia. So can cold trump pneumonia?
Right.
That's what you're betting on.
I would only say at this point, we still have a lot of questions about Omicron.
Right. Well, that's
one way or the other.
But so therefore,
the vaccines may prove to be as effective. Or perhaps they won't. We don't know how quickly it spreads. We don't know a lot of things, and
but
it may be still a couple of weeks.
Look what they're doing. They're selling Pfizer and selling Moderna as if this one person in California is the one.
Well, Moderna has moved up a lot.
The futures were up. The Dow futures, which I don't know why we carry the Dow futures, but they were up 350 at 4 a.m. 350. But I mean, what kind of stupid idiot is buying
those
futures?
Let's not overlook something else that happened this week, which is Powell's testimony and the fact that that has crushed a lot of growth names, I mean, including Salesforce.
Oh, my God.
Which, obviously, even with the guidance.
Did you see that? Do you see
Fiverr, CrowdStrike, RingCentral? I know guys who've, lost a lot of their
like
year.
Well, look, Okta reported.
On names like that, Jim.
Okta reported great
numbers. And it wasn't Omicron. It was Powell.
No, that's true. Okta reported a great number and with revenue acceleration of 40%. I was not expecting 40%. I thought about 38, 39. What do we get? We get price target cuts, Okta. CrowdStrike, which is on Mad Money tonight. Really amazing number. This is a cloud-based cybersecurity.
Yes.
They crushed it, and the stock is getting crushed. And all the lending analysts, as Dave used to call them, are all cutting the price target. Okay. Now, why are they cutting the price? George going back and forth this morning.
Yep.
George can tell
because
why are they cutting it? Because of Powell. Because people decide a high multiple has to go.
Yes. And that's the point I was trying to make, and I appreciate your helping me make it.
How about Exxon?
What about Exxon?
I trump you with Chevron. Chevron announces an increase in their buyback.
Buyback, yes, I saw
that. That's why the investment club bought a little Chevron ahead of time.
But CrowdStrike, wow, that was a quick fall. Yeah.
CrowdStrike's quarter was great.
Whew.
It was great. It was great. 3 months ago, pre-PAL, pre-worries, CrowdStrike would be up 10% right now. And I'd be so excited to have them on. Splunk, not so much.
No.
Splunk's
suboptimal?
It's been a suboptimal situation since Doug Merritt left.
Yeah.
Of which there's been no real full of vetting of why a person who has been Splunk suddenly leaves Splunk. What's the vetting there?
Ooh, that is.
He's there. He's on Mad Money. He's running the company. And then he's gone.
Yeah.
Now, what's that?
I don't know. I mean, there continue to be, I know there's talk about, well, could this thing ever get sold?
Splunk?
Yeah.
It's old technology. It hasn't.
So you don't necessarily think there's a buyer
there. It hasn't completely gotten.
I mean, there may be bankers anxious to try and sell it, but that's what they do for a living.
Well, look, there's not a real CEO.
Right.
There's a part-time interim CEO. The problem with Splunk is that they're trying to convert to a more subscription model, and you want to get in there ahead of time. When Salesforce has been buying subscription models like Slack and just got slacked when they reported, which, by the way, can I go over that for one moment, David?
Yes,
that guidance was the most low-ball guidance in history, and it crushed the stock. It's probably not done being crushed.
Yeah, B of A yesterday noted that CRM tends to beat it in Q4 historically by the most.
They tend to crush it.
Last year they guided 16, they ended up doing 20.
Yeah, well, they just beat their last guidance by 30 cents. Now, it's not like Mark, I think also people were worried about Mark retiring and Bret Taylor coming in. They were worried about that when Keith Block became co-CEO. David, I'm going to reassure you that Benioff's not going anywhere.
Mark's not going anywhere?
No.
I can rest easy. I feel better now. I really do.
Darren Woodson.
What does that have to do with Mark Benioff? What?
You had a great interview with Darren Woods, and I keep thinking that the most important issue out there is an incredible transformation of our oil industry from being by far the worst polluters in the world to having more conscience about pollution.
Yeah. Philip Morris is out with comments. Philip Morris out this morning saying we've done a better job in aggregate than the oil companies.
Oh, jeez. The oil company. Look, I said that the oil companies were uninvestable. And guys like guys like Sheffield at Pioneer, guys like
Wood, I remember when you
guys
said
like
that.
Worth, they all came to me and they said, listen, we hear you, man. It's not that I'm like some sort of grand inquisitor a la Dostoevsky.
No, but you also were reflecting the fact that there is a lot of capital that's being diverted away from them.
Not
and
anymore.
Continues to, not well. I mean, there
not
is
anymore.
Still. Listen, they're pursuing things that obviously are going to hopefully bring them into the better graces of some investors. But there are plenty of ESG top-down strategies that say you can't invest in them.
I just got to go back to something, Carl. You're telling me that a cancer stick company is saying that while they cause cancer, they cause less cancer. Is that the deal? By the way, guys. Buy us, we cause less cancer.
It's in the pitch book.
They're trying to move to smoke
free. It's just less cancer.
Though. They are. They're trying to move.
Fewer
to,
people killed by us than others. There's something. You know, war. Philip Morris. Chevron.
Yes. Take a look at futures this morning. We're going to watch to see if we can hang on to gains as we get closer to the opening bell. Curve continues to flatten. 230s, the lowest since August. Claims were pretty good, though. 222. We were looking for 240. We're back in a moment. China setting the stage for the 737 MAX to fly again. And shares of Boeing are up almost 4.6%. China was the first to ground the plane in March of 2019. Today, regulators instructed airlines on the needed changes, but the directive doesn't say when the MAX might return to the Chinese skies. Jim, you've been saying this is a very big thing for
Boeing. Yeah, my sources indicate that at Boeing, you're going to start seeing things fly. Really, some very big orders from China pretty soon and be flying in January, maybe February. This is why I've been owning the stock. They haven't gotten any big orders since 2017. This is a very big deal for Boeing because they're the largest buyer of planes. Now, David, I'm going to posit something to you. You've been to China.
I have, yes, a number of times.
Okay.
Not in a while, though.
Okay, so I can give you a little. Nike, apparently sales are very strong in China.
Okay.
Starbucks, apparently things are very good in China.
Okay.
Apple, things are very good
all
in China.
All companies that rely
now,
on China for an important
now, Boeing,
percentage of their
news.
Sales.
So why don't we just put the pastiche, if not the mosaic, together and say that because the Olympics are coming up, they're besieging our companies with orders, that everybody in America is getting the green light because they don't want to boycott.
That's an interesting connection to make. I don't know if it's real or not, but it's interesting.
Well,
so you're saying the Chinese...
Just making it up.
Well, I mean, you got to have consumer demand. They can't necessarily... What are they... I mean, you give the green light to everybody. Oh, Dave, go to Starbucks?
You were at Exxon, I worked on this theory for ages and said, this is what you do. You shoot me down.
I'm just questioning it.
Good. I think that's right to question.
It may be reflective of increased consumer demand.
Calhoun wakes up and sees this. It's like, wow. Okay, and the orders are going
to
come.
You may be putting a little too much faith in the Chinese government's ability to actually will its people to do things.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm just saying.
Oh, really? But there's zero
tolerance.
Go out
and buy more Nike?
There's zero.
Go out and have more coffee from Starbucks?
You know the Ministry of Sport has a deal with Nike.
No, one thing. I mean, go out and buy
more
planes.
You know they have a deal. Ministry of Sport has a deal with Nike.
Yeah.
I'm actually not making that up. There is a Ministry of Sport, and they have a deal with Nike.
See what's going on with the tennis.
Well, don't you think they're worried about the boycott? Well, how do you see this? Listen, guys.
They may be worried about an Olympic boycott. They may be. The Winter Olympics are coming up soon.
I think that too many companies that have a lot of business in China, I've checked with Carl, and it does indicate that things have gotten better there. How about that? Better in China. Let's leave it at that.
That would be good. I'm just, as you guys are talking, oil down 63.77 as Russia sort of floats an idea
right
of an OPEC Plus cut.
Wow. That's interesting because I was looking at the curve. The forward the curve for oil has actually gotten a little bit better of late. Let's just take a look at that. We've got it for the Henry Hub. Not that long ago, it was going 55 in November 26. It just jumped to 58. So the longer term, the demand's looking up.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's obviously... 20% plus off of the October highs of 84, maybe, somewhere in that range.
Did Jay Powell, you slipped him a note about that? Would he have still talked about the...
It's funny.
We did
that SPR in conjunction. That did nothing.
But
then Omicron and this, and now suddenly...
But I'm just saying that Jay, if I were Jay, I'd ask for a do-over.
A do-over?
Do-over.
On what, his testimony?
I just say, listen, we're winning the war against inflation. I don't like Gerald Ford. We're winning the war against inflation, but we're worried about supply chain interruption, which causes prices to go up.
Right.
A duo.
Whip inflation now. Is that what you were referring to?
I had a win.
The old win button.
I wore a win button every day to work.
Did you?
Every day.
Wait, you were working in 1970?
I had work study. I was a poor kid.
It was child labor.
I was a poor kid. I worked
Jimmy
in a coal mine.
His little win button.
I worked making cigarettes while I was debating whether to work for oil companies.
Well, again, Kramer's Mad Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell on what's turning into an interesting Thursday with that oil drop. We'll see what impact it has on the overall markets. S&P futures have gone red. Don't go away.
Good. All right, let's get to a Mad Dash. A little less than 7 minutes to go before we start trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. Snowflake shares, I'm going to guess they're going to be up.
Yes, in a miasma of negativity, I want to report that Frank Slootman delivered a number that frankly is insanely good. Every single company's estimate was vastly exceeded. Remember, you rent the cloud here, which, as I mentioned to you earlier, is different from rent the runway, which is another one of those IPOs.
You rent their data analytic capability.
Yeah, and you get the capability. The cloud. Yeah, by the way, I've always felt that Splunk was very vulnerable to everything that Slootman did. Now, maybe we ask about Splunk with Frank Slootman because he's on TechCheck, not Mad Money.
Oh.
So on TechCheck, just in case. You wonder whether he was going to be on Mad Money.
Right.
And Frank has just a fantastic model. This is one of those IPOs that actually worked. It came around the same time as Airbnb and DoorDash. And all of those worked.
Yes.
As opposed to all the new things.
Yes.
You're not wearing Allbirds, are you?
No.
Good, because you're sinking if you were.
Allbirds had a bad quarter. It is still above its IPO price, but not above the price that it traded on its first trade.
Well, actually, when I tend to think of all these IPOs, I think about what price people paid who didn't get in the deal.
Right, and that's a good point. Right. This one, I do recall, of course, when it did come public and it soared, we did talk about incredible valuation and multiple, but you think it's deserved.
100 times. Yeah. 100 times sales. Do I think it's
100 years worth of sales?
Well, it's got actually it's going to have earnings.
That's why it is. Why, it doesn't happen yet, though.
No, but it's actually on the verge of very big earnings breakout.
Right.
And I think that
He's talking about enormous numbers in not that many years.
It's a growth inflection point that's just extraordinary here. And everybody I know who's in the data business says we got to go to Frank. Frank wrote a really good book if you want to know what he's done. And Frank is one of the smartest people I've ever met. He built ServiceNow underwear.
Yep.
He then gave it to Donahoe, and then gave it to McDermott. ServiceNow, one of the largest companies in America.
No, I know. Listen, he's one of those guys that you support completely.
Well, he had a cot at the office.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like people who don't believe in having a life other than work. Because, you know, they often on your tombstone, he worked harder.
Right. No,
worked harder than others.
You really are going to regret not having spent more time at work, I think. Unless you do.
I like working with you. Yeah. And Carl, I'd rather be with you guys.
I'm just happy we're all together.
Look, my wife doesn't even know I have a show now. I can say whatever I want.
Happy we're all together.
My in-laws don't have cable. This is just a windfall for me.
I actually
like home.
Got an opening bell coming up. Don't forget, by the way, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. A lot more people telling me. They listen to us as a podcast.
That's why I mentioned it. When I said where you can get Omicron, it's just I knew that no one from the podcast, they all have to tune in.
All right. Stay with us. We're back after this.
Getting some November sales data out of Ford today. Total sales up 5.9, retail up 4.5. The F-Series, Jim, once again, the best-selling truck for the 45th year in a row, as Wolf says maybe tougher times are ahead today.
Yeah, but Wolf is also talking about how the stock is just up a great deal. This is Jim Farley, obviously. Numbers are great. Remember, they've got the F-150 next year to be lightning, going to be EV. I understand the downgrade. That's a game that Wall Street plays. Stock's up big. Maybe you take it down. How do you get back in? You get back in at $18.38. If you want to play that game, good luck to you. That's a hedge fund game. Ford's up 130% year to date, and I'm sticking with it for my travel truck. Sticking with Ford.
We're definitely going to watch the transports at large today. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. At the big board, Harbor Capital Advisors, celebrating the launch of the Harbor Disruptive Innovation ETF at the NASDAQ. From Singapore, it's Grab, a ride-hailing and delivery provider, celebrating its listing via SPAC. We get some solid breath this morning. We mentioned Ford, Jim. Yesterday it was GM raising their guide.
I thought the GM had good numbers. Mary Barr doing a terrific job. I do not understand why that stock is still selling at a remarkably low multiple, given how well she's doing. This stock is selling at 8x earnings. How's that possible? Mary Barr is delivering. Now, I know the Hummer's going to be $100,000 plus, and the line to get it is very big. But there's so many other good things that are going right at GM. I wonder whether my China theory extends to GM. I know it might be extending to Ford. This is the U.S. I know David was talking to me about how much of a command economy it is. I think that they can certainly make you feel like you're not in trouble if you go buy an Apple phone or a Lincoln.
Have they ever made you feel like you're in trouble?
I think so.
An Apple phone?
I think so. Well, I think they favored various times another kind of phone.
Yeah, well, they still have a lot of providers of phones in that country that are significantly have higher share there, certainly, than does Apple.
Are you fascinated by the Lincolns? About how people, there are famous people who like the Lincoln, Matthew McConaughey and Neil Young. Both are just huge Lincoln drivers.
Well, Matthew McConaughey gets paid a lot of money, doesn't he, by GM to advertise?
No, that's Ford.
I mean Ford, sorry.
I don't know. Matthew McConaughey's, but he's a poet. I got to meet him once. I was just in awe of him, David. Look at this Apple down 5.
Is he running
Cristiano? Cristiano, our sales are really weak. Please make fewer. I don't need as many dragonflies. Is that what's happening right now?
All right.
Liam Griffin,
so
we have way too. We have $5.
I think he is doubtful of the story that Apple
The
stock is up very, very big. So it's perfectly realistic that Skyworks could be down 4 on the story, since they would be the alleged source most likely, and they're not.
Hey, Jim, for a morning where Merkel is talking about mandatory vaccinations, the White House is looking at extending mask mandates for trains and buses, some of these travel names are holding in this morning.
Isn't it something? And, that's one of the conundrums of this is that you have the stocks that are vaccine stocks that are going down, and these are going up. People must think that Omicron. Look, we get another case. We get a second case, which would be a very big increase from 1%. Percentage-wise, all those will be down. So people who are buying those stocks right now, and I happen to like United, people who are buying, you better steel yourself for more Omicron, because you can't just get one, okay? You can't, because it is so, I don't know if have you seen the South African numbers of the ramp, of how much faster it is than Delta? It's parabolic.
That's why it's so confusing. The Times piece today, the first patient in Israel who got it had many contacts. Only one of those has tested positive since.
And apparently that's the same thing on the Netherlands plane, that people who didn't have it.
And we also don't know in terms of symptoms, and we don't really know about exactly what the vaccine's effectiveness is.
We now have
We got to wait.
We have 1 week of Netherlands data, and, you know, we have nothing.
Right.
They've not published anything there. But what is that about?
I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm waiting like everybody else, but obviously the capital markets go on.
The NASDAQ, they're not waiting.
And investors try to make their decisions.
I just urge people.
Based on anecdotal evidence that we see all over the place.
The S&P oscillator I follow, which is
Moderna CEO going to be the outlier? Is that going to be the...
Ben Sell, the man who scared us all?
Yes.
I like him, though. The S&P oscillator that I follow is the most oversold it's been in many, many months. It's -7. Typically, if it's anything below -5, you should buy it. It's -7, which means you shouldn't be selling here. Certainly, but at the same time, I recognize if we get another victim, then there'll be another wave of selling.
Meanwhile, Kroger's going to lead us today.
Wow.
As gross margins were a little light, but comps were ahead, and they raised the guide on comps.
I thought that was a terrific number, especially because given the fact that people were lamenting the fact that Costco missed by 1.5%. Sellers in Costco, of course, down 8. Good opportunity, down another 20. Try to get in and out of that one. I look forward. I think Sarah has Kroger, Sarah and Wolf, and Rodney will give. I think Rodney's reinventing the company. It's finally working. I shouldn't say finally. It's been good. Remember, Warren Buffett bought a ton of it in the 20s.
It's hard to do. Difficult business, which is why, is there a call on Uber today? I was looking through your notes, Jim.
Yeah,
as Uber. We keep our eye on delivery.
Oh, I thought the Uber call was funny.
UBS.
Yeah, UBS Uber call. This is if you're a member of the investment club, you get this memo that I've been putting out for the last 10 years called What I Am Looking At. And I tend to add a little, I always add a little kind of an improvement on the situation. UBS is using an $80 price target for Uber, and I suggested that perhaps they should start with with a $60 price target.
Why make it a double right off the bat?
Why not just use I was going to write 58, but then I said people think that I'm being so facetious. But I do, David, I do this thing. It's called What I'm Looking At. I know you haven't looked at it, but it's called What I'm Looking At. In 10 years, have you looked at it?
Yes, I look at it almost every day.
But I send this to club members, and it's hilarious at times, too. I have the Apple data. I did not have the phone calls that are now being made by the CEOs of these suppliers saying, okay, I'll cut all my orders, Tim, because things are weak. Not true. But I went with the J.P. Morgan cold versus pneumonia, if only just because that's the Pollyanna view that I want to believe. That's the Hatsius number 4 view. The Goldman fellow?
Yep. No? Yes, Jan Hatzius, yes. John Chief Hatzius. Economist, Goldman
Very smart guy.
Yes.
Yep. Do you remember when Trump said in February of 26 of 2020 that COVID was contained? Dow was at 27,000. 1 month later, it was at 18,000. That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, I'm saying that's what, if people are selling now, you got to recognize that if you're selling and you're down that much, like the people who are selling a lot of the payment stocks, they're selling. Like, that's going to happen.
Well, the payment stocks have had an issue of their own long before we heard about Omicron.
By the way, they're doing pretty well. The legacy credit card shares are doing well today in the face of Square changing its name to Block, delaying Afterpay, delaying the vote, as the Bank of Spain, I guess, is the big holdout here, right?
Yeah. You know what? One of the things I really love about Square, as opposed to, by the way, about Twitter's, Amrita Ahuja came on. She's the CFO. Remember, Jack won't do TV. Or maybe you'll start doing it now. I don't know. But Jack Dorsey was speaking of. He would not come on for Square, so I had Amrita Ahuja. They are so pro crypto there. They want to be the crypto, and a lot of us want them to be crypto because of the problem that we have, where we're earning 8% on our money and we can't figure out how. Square, I asked Square to be our bank because J.P. Morgan would not be my bank for Ethereum.
Yeah.
Trying to get Square to be my bank. I think Jack Dorsey. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't become the bank of crypto. And that would be fabulous, because a lot of us want some outfit that we've heard of running this. I'm pro-Jack right now.
You're pro-Jack?
I'm pro-Jack.
Okay. Twitter shares...
I was telling him to hit the road last week.
I know. Well, he did. He did.
Yeah.
Although Twitter shares did not...
That was Brett Taylor week, remember?
Yeah. Brett Taylor... Well, yeah. You were surprised he was even on the board.
Brett... Yeah, and then he became chairman.
And then he became chairman. That happened quick.
And then co-CEO. Imagine that. He's chairman of Twitter on one day, and then he's co-CEO of Salesforce. I mean, this guy, what else are you going to do? What's the triple play? What's the triple crown there?
I don't know what comes next. But
let's see. Let's think about
he's
going to
be a busy man.
What would be the triple
crown? Hey, look. Shares of Salesforce are up a little bit there, Jim.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I have a note. Says you open up. It says, in the event of nuclear war by Salesforce. That's how much people hated it yesterday.
Guys, I haven't talked about SPACs in a long time.
Oh, you work?
I'm not going to WeWork. I'm going to Tillman Fertitta. You saw this. Remember, they are mergers as well at heart, right? We talk about them as an alternative way for companies to go public, and that is true. But there is a merger agreement, and in this case, Fertitta Entertainment, you know, the gaming,
sure,
the restaurants,
yeah,
it's doing really well. I think as much as I'm hearing $900 million in EBITDA, and you know what? It wants out of its deal to go public through a SPAC. It doesn't want to be public anymore. And so there he is. Tillman, basically, they said a letter. They let their former partner, of course, Fast Merger Corp, a Texas corporation, know that, hey, we're out. We're out. We pursuant to Section 10.02, the merger agreement, we're out. We'll see you later. We want to stay a private company. That said, the SPAC in question says, no, you can't do that. That's invalid, unenforceable, of no legal force and effect, and we're rejecting your exit. So FTX, which we're talking about here, is going to end up, obviously, is going to end up in FST, excuse me, is the symbol. It's going to end up, one would expect, in court or some sort of settlement. But interesting, there's been such a rebound in the businesses. Remember, wow, early days of the pandemic, which you were just referencing there,
right,
when there were a lot of questions about, in general, about those companies, Landry's, all of them, which relied on people coming in the door, they have rebounded dramatically. And now, so much so that they're like, well, we're not interested in going public anymore. Taking too long is what I'm hearing.
That's amazing.
With the various approvals. Remember, gaming, of course, you need a lot of different approvals. And it's simply taking too long.
I'm kind of shocked at that.
But they'll end up in court, I would assume, trying to figure this out.
You mentioned gaming. We do have MLB owners locking out players, setting up the first work stoppage in since 95. I wonder, I mean, DKNG's up a little bit, but it did hit a year and a half low earlier this morning.
Yeah, DK, look, that group is under a lot of pressure because of what people have to understand, the way these companies work. It's customer acquisition and new states. That's what they need. There's two things that determine how well they do. They need more states that approve gambling, and they need better customer acquisition at a lower price. And I think that a lot of these companies are spending too much money right now to get customers. It's not sustainable, but in some cases, I think that you'd have a DraftKings, which has more money, Jason Robbins, very shrewd operator, say, listen, I'll take the hit to drive others out. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, well, you pointed that out, though. They do spend an awful lot on customer acquisition.
Right.
And then there's been the question of, do they need even more scale?
Yes.
And we know they
tried. Arizona, they got a lot in a very short time.
They did try and Entain to gain global scale to a certain extent. MGM
right.
as well was excited about the prospects there because they would have been able to take control of the partnership they have with Entain here in the States.
Right.
Didn't happen. But I would assume that they continue to look for those opportunities, although it's hard to do a deal if you're going to try and use your own stock price when it's looking like that.
And just a tremendous amount of insider buying at DraftKings. And you could argue that so far they're down a lot, but you can't flip when you buy. Insiders can't just flip. But I think that this is a war where there's only going to be a couple of winners. FanDuel by far has the biggest market share by far, and everyone's trying to come after FanDuel. And DraftKings is the only one I think is really making good headway. Penn National is very small. People think Penn National because Dave Portnoy is doing a great job at Penn National, but they're just not a big player.
Right. We would obviously keep our eyes on potential impact on sports television. Disney yesterday got to 142, as they now have a new chair, Jim, replacing Bob Iger.
I know.
It's going to be Susan Arnold.
My Chapel Trust, I've talked about some of the winners. My Chapel Trust owns Disney, and obviously Omicron, terrible news for them. But I think the change at the top is somewhat expected.
Yeah, Bob completely Iger expected. Iger, of course, has been... meaning will step down as the company's chairman, as had been detailed quite some time ago when he actually stepped aside as the company's
CEO.
And Chapek is running the company.
Right. What are you hearing about Disney Plus, which is what everyone's so angry about, upset about?
Well, I mean, the sub numbers addition slowed down, but the target didn't, the longer term target for what is it, 230 million subs?
That's what I thought.
I think there's many people who don't doubt that they will be able to achieve that,
but
perhaps not in quite the same time frame.
That's why I bought the stock from my trust. Obviously, that was mistaken. I thought that because they didn't lower the long term,
and then there's this question as to whether they need to somehow broaden the service.
They need more gambling.
Does it appeal to enough people at this point to be able to reach that? That's a question. You know, Malone raised it a little bit in the interview that we did a couple of weeks back. Others have.
Right. I wish they had bought Unity, John Riccitiello's company, because they have Avatar, Peter Jackson. You need really beautiful characters in the Omniverse. You can't have the Zuckerberg cartoon characters. You need really beautiful characters, which means you're going to need John Riccitiello's tools.
Yeah.
That Unity was a terrific buy that he bought Weta. But it is important to point out that the amazing interview with Kathy Wood yesterday by Sarah, that she owns 4%, an aggregate, I believe, of Unity, and she's been dumping it. Which is why it really didn't matter what the heck Riccitiello said on my show. Kathy Wood being the arbiter of whole stocks, when she buys it, they go up, or she has a floor. Not DraftKings, a floor there, not Twitter, maybe a floor there. Second floor, maybe.
Remarkable opening here with breadth so solid, all sectors green, and yet the VIX near 30. Let's get
Isn't
to Bob Bassani. Hey, Bob.
That is a sign of how volatile the market and just how on edge everybody is. I mean, look, we were crazy in the pre-open. It was all over the place because nobody can quite figure out what's the right narrative for Omicron and what's the right way to look at Jay Powell's apparent about face on volatility. We're not going to know for a couple of weeks, and I think you're going to keep seeing this volatility. But take a look at the sectors today here. So it's nice to see a little bank in the little bounce in the value groups, banks, industrials. Even energy, which started negative, are doing a little better. Tech is flattish because of Apple, largely, and some of the semiconductors. But nice, good to see a little bounce in value. Jim was talking about oversold conditions. The market is very oversold, particularly in many parts. What does that mean, oversold, overbought? Let me show you the Russell 2000. That's oversold. 3 weeks in a row, the Russell 2000 straight down. And we're down, we're bounced a little today, but down 12, 13, 14% in 3 weeks. That's a lot. And this is before Omicron. This was happening as we were going into these new waves of Delta over in Europe and Asia. Even the Russell 2000 on the value sector of the Dow Industrials also has essentially been down 3 weeks in a row. The trend has been down on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Put that up there. You see that. We're talking 7% maybe off of the highs. But you can see where the market has been going. And that's what we're talking about. And Jim talks about when he says oversold. So laggards today, it's mostly tech stocks. You got chips like Micron. You got the Apple down a bit. And you got energy was initially down. It's bounced very quickly in the last 15 minutes or so. The Apple story, I'm totally with Jim on this. Dan Ives is the axe over at Wedbush. We've all been following him for many, many years. He says iPhones, his checks is going to be robust in the holiday. He's talking about 40 million iPhones during the holiday season. We know Dan Ives for many, many years. I'd go with him on that, and I agree with Jim. But wouldn't it be nice, with all that said about Apple, wouldn't it be nice to see a little bit of a bounce in the value sectors today? They've gotten clobbered, some of these stocks. And here, this is nice to see. Boeing's bouncing. Bank of America, JP Morgan. This is all value, by the way. Walt Disney's finally bouncing. Johnson & Johnson can't get out of its way for months. It's finally bouncing as well, too. This would be nice to see a little bit of rotation going into this group. The market has, parts of the market's really been trashed in the last couple of months, particularly the value sector of the market. There's huge, remember the market used to move together? Not anymore. There's big dispersion. Look at this in 2 months here. Microsoft's up 17, Apple's up 16. Disney's down 16. Boeing's down 14. There's a 30 percentage point spread between Microsoft and Apple and Disney, Boeing, and almost American Express. Is that a little, a lot, 30 percentage points? Yes, that's a lot. This, well, absent an individual stock story, that's an enormous dispersion for mega big cap stocks in a two-month period. That's what I'm talking about. The market's moving in different directions. Almost we have two different markets. Wouldn't it be nice to see a little bit of a bounce in value? I don't know if we're going to get that because of all of the uncertainty that we've got out there. If you want to look at it on a bigger level, growth versus value, okay, S&P growth's up 9%, Carl. Value is essentially flat. Doesn't really capture the story. I'd show you the value versus growth individual stocks. There's some amazing moves in either direction. But until we get a little more news, and I think it's the December 15th Fed meeting where we'll have more news on Omicron and the virus and its transmissibility and its effect on vaccines. And finally, of course, a little more clarity from Jay Powell on December 15th. Carl, back to you.
All right, Bob, thanks. We'll see you in a little bit, Bob Pisani. As we go to break, Dow's up about 370 here. Take a look at bonds and treasuries this morning as the curve. It's all about 230s. Two-year, almost 60 basis points. The long bond, 175, the lowest since August on that spread. With more Fed speak on the way today, Bostic, Quarles, Barkin, and Daly. We'll be right back. Quick reminder here, you can always get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Cramer. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/investingclub or use the QR code on your screen. It'll take you straight there. Dow's up 440 and we're back above 4550 on the S&P. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Carl, I probably buy about three or four Binex now tests every single week. And there are a lot of people who are upset because the stock has been on a tear. This is Abbott. And I would want to point out they took no government money or investments. They produced Binex now here, not in China. They've never raised the price. Retailers do take a cut. And the government spent billions on testing. Why don't we just do what they do in Britain? Just write a check to Abbott Labs, the government, like they do in Britain, and just give them to everybody. I don't know why we're all paying 14.50. The government should be buying these. So people may be upset with Abbott, but all I can tell you is they got the best product, and it's the government's fault. It's not Abbott's fault. They've not raised the price, even though the labor costs have gone up. So it's been a big win for my trust, and you could say, well, Jim, you're talking your own book, and I will say, no, I wish I didn't have to pay so much, but that's because the government doesn't buy them for free like we do. I used to get the U.K. ones, and I ran out of them. They were giving them away like there was, like, beers.
Yeah.
Not in our country.
We're now in the mode of, like, you know, what's, you're going to get it reimbursed for this or that, and what's free?
They just got the government started reimbursed. Would it just be so much easier for the government just say, listen, Abbott, we'll take everyone that you make and then give them to people so that there's no confusion, but they're not doing that. Again, I love the way the market's bouncing because it's so oversold. I just want the buyers to recognize that if there is another one, you're probably going to have to buy more lower, but we're really oversold. And again, on the Abbott, on the Apple, I haven't gotten any calls from any. David, did you get a call from a supplier saying, I can't believe I'm so long?
Not yet.
Base
yet.
Chips for.
Yeah.
Oh. Meanwhile, tonight, CrowdStrike and SIG?
Signet, yeah. I think it's very interesting. Signet is, it's down, even though it's been blowing numbers away forever. And I just think that that may be your opportunity. This is Every Kiss Begins with Favor. And also,
he missed
sale.
It.
He's busy. I just made a joke.
I missed it.
I just flew back from L.A. Boy, my arm's tired.
Oh, that's a good one. Is that Henny Youngman?
Yes.
Okay. See, well, put that one, but not.
Yeah, we got that one. See you tonight. Mad Money, 6 o'clock Eastern Time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.